We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Why don't you flip with me? Go ahead and flip with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. It says, starting in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look! The bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside going, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you, too, must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return.'" Pastors used the scripture recently in the last couple weeks, and started to get me thinking, so I want to talk to you today about this text here, this parable. Now, we know that this parable, primarily, the focus of this is about being ready for Jesus' return, right? Yes. That's what the parable is telling us. Hey, guess what? We need to be ready. But that's not the angle I want to talk about today. Today, if you're keeping notes, I want to talk to you about maintain your flame. Maintain your flame. See, the problem was the 5 foolish women did not maintain their flame. They were not prepared. They had not continued to pay attention to the most important thing. And so today, I've got a very short amount of time because we've got some other things that are going to happen today. So I want to give you 4 things that we need to do in order to maintain our flame. Is that good?
Yeah.
See, if we don't maintain the spiritual flame burning for God, we too may not be ready and miss what God has for us now, and then inevitably, most importantly, missing Jesus later. And he's coming back.
Right.
More than just word on the street. It's word in the word.
Yes.
Right? So he's coming back. And so we have to understand, say, it's my responsibility
to maintain
my flame. Yes. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's something this scripture is telling us. It was their responsibility. They knew. Can I tell you, we have a Bible. We live in a country where we have the freedom to open it up and to come together and fellowship and gather. You know. We know the word tells us he's coming back, and we need to maintain our fire and our passion for God, because that's what's going to carry us through the hard times. You think you've had hard times? You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the book tells us it's going to get harder. So this is boot camp. We're having to prepare for whatever is going to come next. All I know is I'm glad we got God to do it with. Because I also read and we win, so it doesn't matter. We got to endure, right? And so I want to talk to you about maintaining your flame. If you're taking notes, number 1, be consumed. I was going to say stay lit, but that means something totally different in this generation. And so we will not stay lit. We will be consumed, amen? Hebrews 12, verse 29 says this, "For our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a consuming, if something consumes, it engulfs. It overtakes. And I'm not allowed to start fires in the building. So you're going to have to work with me on this, okay? You have to imagine, I'm trying to start a fire right now. tap into that imagination station. See, in order for this whole thing to be consumed, it has to be consumable. And what I'm trying to say is, if this was dry and this was wet, how many know it's probably not going to get consumed? See, in our lives, see, God, he comes and he tries to consume us. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, his intent from that very moment was to consume your life. He was to become your life. He wasn't to become an exclamation point on the end of your week on a Sunday. He wasn't to become that, you know, the when I find time. He is the one that said, I gave you all the time. So we have to reprioritize how to maintain our flame because it's our responsibility. See, God wants to consume your life. He wants to consume your world. And so if my life is like this, where this part of my life is consumable, but this part is not, how many know it's going to be hard to stay lit? Right? So the point is, God wants to engulf me. He wants me ablaze. He wants me totally consumed by his purpose, his passion, his word, everything that he intends good for me, he wants. But half of my life is not consumable. It's my responsibility to maintain my flame. We cannot think that we can have an on-fire relationship with God by building firewalls that separate one part of our life from another. You go into a building like this, there are a lot of firewalls. They're designed so that if this portion of the building catches on fire, it gives an extra amount of time before that portion catches on fire so that it gives time for the fire trucks to show up, right? When I said Jesus come into my heart, I didn't say this room in my heart. I didn't say, hey, I've made a nice area of my life, and as long as you stay on this quarter, my west wing, on this side, you're good. I said, Jesus, come into my life, consume me. And so God is saying, okay, well, let's manage this. Maintain your flame. What does it look like? I want to be consumed. You want to be consumed? You're here. I'm preaching to the choir, right? And so we can't think that we're going to have an incredible relationship with God when we hide things, when we keep things to the side, where we don't try and deal with things, where we all got baggage. Yes, that's right. And if you don't, you just lied. So there's some baggage. See, let him reach every part of your heart and your mind. That's what he wants. So number one, be consumed. Number two, because I got to keep moving. Feed your flame. Feed your flame. See, if I was to start a fire, I wouldn't start with these big logs, obviously, but it looks good, so. You would start with something very small. And what happens? I don't know if you've ever tried to start a fire. Most men, when we start fires, we just douse it with gasoline. Amen. You know? And if it doesn't catch, we throw more gas. No. Anyway, the point is, if you see somebody, and anyone watch survival shows, I love watching survival shows, partially because I'm like, why would you do this? So anyway, they've got a bow drill and they're creating an ember, and you know, once they get the ember, what do? They pour it into like a little bird's nest. They evicted birds to get the nest. And then what do? Some of you are already getting where I'm going. Yeah, yeah. If you want to feed your flame, you need God to blow on your life. You need God's word. You need his breath on your life. You need something that he's trying to do. If you want to feed your flame, you need the word of God in your heart. You need the word of God in your mind. You need that to be, you need to be digesting that stuff. Look what it says here in 1 Kings 19:12. It says this, and after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. Everyone take your hand, put it 2 inches from your nose. Don't breathe. No, now I just want you to go, whisper. Do you feel that? When God speaks, he breathes on you. He's breathing. When his word is coming into your life, it's literally him breathing on you, which is creating this flame. It's taking the ember that's going on. He's breathing on you. You need to feed your flame. You need to feed your flame. He's that still small voice. When we allow God to speak to us in a whisper, it's Him breathing on us. His Bible is trying to feed our flame, His Word. The Holy Spirit is trying to feed our flame. Understanding that Jesus, first of all, the Bible says He's the light of the world, right? Then the Bible also talks about how we are to be a light to the world. We're not supposed to cover it with a basket. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to be a light to this world. And so if you're a light, why would you cover it with a basket? Can I tell you, the more that you allow God to breathe, the more you feed your flame, it's harder and harder to allow the society to cover your flame. You get more, you shine more and more and brighter and brighter. You know, you be somewhere you're not supposed to be, and people go, "You ain't supposed to be here." Like, I know. It's my flame. We got to feed that flame. It's important for you to understand it's your responsibility. God's given us the ability to feed that flame, to continue to, you know, when you start that thing. So what happens? After you get that thing going and you put it down, you start taking tiny little sticks and kindling and anything else that's highly flammable. And you start putting it little by little. You start feeding it. Well, you may be sitting here and this is all new to you. You've got that ember going right now. Well, you've got to get around the right things and start feeding that flame to allow it to build to what God wants. Because if that thing builds to where it's supposed to be, your destiny will be what it was supposed to be. Your purpose, the thing that God created you for, you will get there, but we have to feed that flame. Are you ready? Yeah. Number three, we got to stay stoked. Got to stay stoked. It's a great, great, great time of year to have a fire. And how many know you're sitting around a fire talking, you're hanging out, and you know it was blazing a little while ago, and you look over and it just kind of has settled. It's kind of like going out. What do you do? Sometimes you get up there, like I was just saying. Less spit helps. But then you take a poker and you start to move around and poke at the coals. You start to realize, well, there's a nice little hot batch there. It's pretty dead over here. Let me spread it over here. Let me readjust this. And before you know it, you've poked around for all 30 seconds and woof, it catches back up. You need some pokers in your life. Your best friends are your pokers. Your best friends are the ones that in love will tell you the things that you need to adjust or shift or tell you, hey, your life on this side of your life is a little cold. You need to shift some things. You need to hang around with the people that are honest enough to tell you the things that God wants you to hear. Remember what the Bible says. The Bible says, better is a wound from a friend than a kiss from an enemy. What does that say? What that says is it's better for someone to be honest enough with me to save me than for someone to tell me I'm okay and watch me die. My destruction, right? You need good pokers in your life. Turn around and poke somebody in the shoulder. Gentle. Look what 2 Timothy says. 2 Timothy 1:6. Okay, enough poking. Stop it. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. See, to stoke something is to stir or to build up, to poke. So I'm telling you that it's within us to be able to fan into flame, to feed that flame, to be able to stoke that fire. You have the ability to do so. It's my responsibility to maintain my flame. I have God's word. I've got great poker friends. Not on the weekends. I've got friends that will adjust me and help me. And so I have the ability. Sometimes I have to realize, I don't know about you, yesterday was not an awesome day for me. So I have to tell myself, all right, I just got to pause. God, I need you to breathe on me. This is today has been a struggle. And I need more of you. I've got to find some time to get back into God's word. I've got to call that specific friend that I trust or those people and just say, hey, man, can you be praying for me today? It's been a rough one. Just tell me something good about myself because I don't feel good about myself. What does God's word say about me again? I know it says it, but when you say it, sometimes I believe it more because it wasn't in my head first. It came out of your mouth first. We got to stay stoked. It's my responsibility to maintain my flame. Oh boy, it's my responsibility to end on time too. Number four. You guys still with me?
Yes.
Number four, you must surround yourself with hot coals. Young men, not hot teas. Hot coals. You must surround yourself with like-minded people, with people that desire to move forward into all the things God has for them. See, how many know it's a lot easier to make a good decision when everyone else in the group wants to make the good decision too? How many know it's a lot harder when everyone's like, let's do it, and you're sitting here thinking, this ain't going to end well, and everyone's like, let's do it, and you're like, eh. That's a response, eh. It's a lot easier to continue to do the right things and be the right person when you're around other people that are striving for the same thing. When I was a teenager, I was in a band that it was a band that played here a lot called Striving for Seven, and there was about seven being completion and perfection and all of that. We'll never be perfect, but we're striving to be. I don't know where that came from. But either way, you need to be around the right people that are striving for the right things. And those people are going to be your best poker. That was loud. Look what it says here, Proverbs 12:26. It says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous choose their friends carefully. You know, the original translation, it talks about how wise people are cautious when choosing friends. You know, we need to be careful that if our personality tends to be up for whatever kind of personality, we've got to be careful about who we become friends with. We should all be careful about who we're friends with, but especially if you know that you're just kind of a go-with-the-flow person, you better be going with people that are flowing the right way. Amen. Otherwise, it was your decision to put yourself in that situation that put you where you are today.
Yes.
It's my responsibility to maintain my flame. Are you with me? You can't stay on fire for God by doing life with the wrong people. I didn't say to exile those that don't yet know Jesus. I didn't say to cut off communication. I'm saying we should spend the majority of our time with those encouraging the right things in us. We need to surround ourselves with hot coals. See, if you can imagine the church is the burning fire. When we come in here on a Sunday, your spirit is lifted, your hope is strengthened. Are you with me? Man, you feel like, all right, God, I can take on the world. But what happens when your coal now goes back into the world? If you want to do a fun experiment after the Mentos one, start a fire, let it simmer, let it just kind of hang out and go down to just coals, and then scoop out about 5 or 6 coals and put them together, and then scoop out one and put it together, and watch how quick that goes out compared to those. Because isn't the goal to continue to try and stay hot for God and all the things so that the next time we have the opportunity to come back and rejoin the fire, it's not like starting over again? Some of you feel like every time you finally get back into church, it takes you to the third song to finally get back into work. It's because you're a cold coal. Man, if you stay around the right group that's on fire for God and you stay passionate and you're in connect groups, which builds this stuff, and you're around the right people, but man, you come in here and you're jumping in the first song, you're excited, not because worship is jumping. However, rejoice does mean to spin in circles. But you're into it. Why? Because you didn't allow yourself to get cold. We need to surround ourselves with the right people, with hot coals, so that when we come back, we're adding to the flame.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that. When we come to church, it's not all about me. When we come to church, it's about glorifying God and putting our hands in and serving. If you've been in here for years and you haven't decided to serve, now's a good time. Because God has equipped you with gifts and talents and purpose and passion. And if you want to be able to do all that God's called you to do, start anywhere. I remember I was like 8 years old when I started helping in the kids' ministry. I think I caused more problems than I helped. But they're like, yeah, It's good for him. Just get involved where you can. It's time. Say now.
Now.
Yeah, that's when it's time to get involved at God's house. I'll tell you, the future of this church is bright. We need more services because I believe the people are going to continue to come. And we can't do more services without more people serving. So when we are all on the same page and we're ready to actually reach this community in such a way that you say, my hands are on the plow too, you're going to see amazing things happen. So we got to surround ourselves with those hot coals. The same way a single coal will go out by itself, so will one's fire for God without fellowship and encouragement. We need each other. We need each other. Did you guys receive that today?
Yeah.
You know, it's important to know in a day and time where people don't like, where they like passing the buck, they don't like taking the responsibility, it's important to know that God always puts us back, our feet on the line, saying it's our responsibility. Because when I take ownership of that, when I take ownership that this is my church and I want to see what God wants best in this church, then I'm going to show up and I'm going to do what I can do. When I understand it's my responsibility to maintain the flame for God, then I'm going to continue to put in the effort when I don't feel like it. Because when have you ever done anything that has accomplished much because you felt like it or not? Like, what I'm trying to say is the last time you didn't do anything because you didn't feel like it, there was nothing accomplished. So we've got to get beyond our feelings. We've got to maintain our flame. We've got to understand what God's calling us to.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.